Well, it's 10:02 Central Standard Time. Can everyone hear well? Is anyone experiencing any background noise or interference?
Mike, can you guys all hear me okay?
I can hear you, Jonathan. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you just fine.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I guess we're ready to start. If you're ready to start.
Yeah, that's great. If you want to timestamp it, good old stuff.
Good. It's 10:02 Central Standard Time. We're in a collective bargaining session with the United Faculty of Florida's chapter at the University of West Florida and the bargaining team for the University of West Florida Board of Trustees. This is being broadcast and open to the public through the WebEx system. And I appreciate everyone's participation today. Hopefully we're gonna get a couple things done and move forward. At the end, or whenever you really want, we can talk about whether we continue to meet this way through this platform, or whether as we move forward, we meet in a different way, but we can get to that at the end. So good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning. I say it, good morning.
Thank you, Raid. Someone has to answer me, or I think I've lost, and I'm like George Clooney going off into space. One of the things that we would like to start with, if we may, unless Jonathan, you have something else that you would like to begin with. I don't want to jump ahead. If you have something that you'd like to bring up preliminarily.
The only thing that seems most pressing to us is just the MOU for the those things. I had sent that ahead of time, but if you wanted to start there somewhere else, that's fine. Just as long as we make sure and cover that.
Good. Let's start with the MOU. We received the proposed MOU that you provided, and we have we've amended it somewhat, and I'd like to go through that and tell you why we amended it, okay, when where we amended it, and I don't know how we are able to transmit that to you. Pam, are you on? And do we have a system? Does Gabby have a system where they can change exchange documents?
Yes, on the WebEx.
Okay. Can we transmit? Can we post and transmit the proposal that we have for today for the memorandum of understanding?
Gabby, do you have the latest draft?
No, ma'am.
Mike, can you email Gabby the latest draft?
Yeah, for sure.
Mike, would you do that? If you're sending it to Gabby to post, if this is okay with Pam and Gabby, simultaneously email it to me so I can just have a copy here.
Who?
Who
made that request?
John Fink.
All the documents exchanged need to go through WebEx because the format that we chose for the meeting was WebEx, and so everything needs to go through the WebEx.
Okay, that's fine. I was just asking if it can simultaneously also be sent to me on email.
Right, and I'm afraid not. I'm sorry, because of the Sunshine Law provisions, we have to conduct all public business. We have to give the public access to all the public business that we conduct. And because your email is considered to be outside of the notice of the public meeting, we won't be able to do that.
That isn't actually correct. If it is shared on WebEx, then it's noticed to the public, and then it can also, on top of the public notice, be sent in a separate email.
It can, but Gabby needs to upload it through the WebEx first.
Well, that was my question.
So Gabby will upload it through WebEx.
Okay,
once she receives it from Michael.
Yeah, I understand that. I was just asking if after she loads it up through WebEx, distributes it to the public through WebEx, if they can simultaneously send me a copy of it so we can amend it and negotiate it.
Well, I'm sorry, Jonathan, you threw me off with that term simultaneous. So let her upload it to WebEx.
Okay.
And then go from there. Is that okay?
Yeah, as long as go from there means that she will send me an email copy after it's been loaded to WebEx, that would be great.
Once it's loaded up on WebEx, it becomes a public document and we can share.
Correct.
Uh-huh. So we'll do that for you, Jonathan. Just
okay, that's great.
Let us take a few seconds and go through this process.
That's great. Mike, if you wanted to talk about the amendations as well as it's done perfectly, I have a copy of our hard copy in front of me. So if you wanted to talk about those changes, I'm just kind okay. of that'd be great too.
Sure. All right. So I'm gonna go through the numbered paragraphs, and tell you what we are in agreement with, and then what language we didn't pick up on, and why. So paragraph one, we're in agreement on. Paragraph two, we're in agreement on. Paragraph three, we're in agreement on. Paragraph four, and you're going to see this in another section later on in the draft, is we have limited the action taken by the MOU to 2019-2020 only. And we'll talk about that later on in five. But outside of the expanded year, expanding the language that we agreed upon into 2021, we're in agreement on four. On five, there was an added reference in your last offer to section 112.061 Florida statutes. And to the travel manual of the university, and we're good with that. We can pick up those two references and add that. We went back to our language about the development of criteria on travel. Six is again, we're in agreement except for the time application. We are staying with 19 and 20 instead of at this point in time going from 2021. And again, we'll talk about that when we get to the last paragraph. Seven, we're in agreement on. Eight, we're in agreement on. Nine, we're in agreement on. 10, we're in agreement on. 11, we don't think we need 11. We've looked into the use of the PIP, there's only one in existence and it's coming to a conclusion. So it wouldn't be appropriate to extend that for a year. So since there's no PIP, since no one's going into the PIP, or there's no PIP that's like in full robust midpoint, we don't think we need that. 12 is okay. We can agree to 12, but because we struck 11, 12 is going to be renumbered as 11. And that would go for the next couple. 13, which was 14 renumbered, is 13. We are already well into that process. We have had most of the people that would be covered by the sabbatical extension has already indicated to us whether they wish a deferral or not. Several deferrals have already been granted. So we're afraid that if we throw language out in the middle of a process that's already nearing completion, which is how we're going to defer or not defer sabbaticals, would be confusing and is unnecessary. So we struck that. There is, and Jamie's on the line, and Jamie Spray can certainly talk to this. We have a university-wide protocol in place with a committee that is addressing those leave issues. And so we would prefer not to carve out a separate whole protocol just for faculty. And Jamie can talk to you about what we're doing university-wide. So the faculty were already involved in that faculty-wide initiative. So 15 is, we didn't pick up on 15 because this is how we feel about that. I think 15 is unnecessary and sort of suggests that what we're doing is not complete. It sort of suggests that there needs to be continued bargaining because we're not capturing all the issues that are before us right now. But we also think that we're in an evolving circumstance and that we're going to have things happen in the next several weeks that will require us to continue to communicate. We acknowledge that, we know that. We might even have to modify things in this agreement that we have on the table. We might have to add things. We might be facing completely new issues. We have, for example, governor's task force is going to act in the next week or two. There's going to be directives on what stays closed, what opens up. There's going to be decisions made about the fall, and all of those things are going to implicate our need to continue to communicate and continue to make accommodations in a collaborative manner. So we think 15 is not necessary. That goes back and sort of influences our situation with 4 and 6, because I think we need to talk about 2021 when we have a better picture of what's going to happen in 2021. Anyway, that's our response. I think we're very close. We're in agreement on all but a couple of issues. And by and large, it's because those issues have been addressed already and are in play to come to a conclusion.
Well, thank you, Mike. We appreciate the university's attention to this. And I know that all of us have a lot of things going on. And I think that really working through these items is essential to the university, to faculty. And, one of the things that's come up a lot through the unanticipated effects are just like the mental health issues, the psychological issues that people are dealing with. And so the stress that they're under. And so I think that this document helps alleviate a lot of that stress for faculty. I can give you a couple of thoughts on, I think I understand all of the things that you've outlined here on the changes. A couple of thoughts specifically on the 15 and the continued negotiation of those items. What we had initially proposed is 15. One of the things we're hearing a lot from faculty, I would say their primary concern that I hear that's most anxiety inducing is what happens in a scenario where, politically, economically, forces require that we reopen everything, right? That the emergency is officially lifted, but then faculty who were in high risk scenarios. I have faculty who are writing me who have just gone through chemo or through radiation or high risk populations, and they're very concerned about coming back to campus in the fall if they're a high risk population and like the emergency has been formally lifted, but there's still a medical risk, right? So that's what they're looking for is and I think is important. Is to offer them some kind of assurance that this is what we're going to continue negotiating. Now, we're negotiating this under impact bargaining, right? Because it's impacting it's a result of the actions the university has formally taken, good actions the university has formally taken, right? But they are extending out into that's what initiates the impact bargaining, right? If we go back to an all clear, there's no longer an impact to bargain against an impact bargaining, right? So that's why we think there needs to be some documentation about this continued negotiation, because there won't be an avenue for, I'd be interested in your thoughts on that, but there's not a direct avenue anymore if we go back to an all clear situation and we're in, we don't start back to negotiating the reopener until next spring. So I don't know what sort of impetus would be used to negotiate those terms in that scenario.
Well, the team, the university team, believes that there will be some clarity as to other actions that have to be taken, whether it's to go back to delivering the instruction in the manner in which we delivered before the pandemic, or whether it's modified some way. It's gonna take some kind of action on the part of the university. And when that action is taken, let's say if we were to return to a traditional instructional process, I think we would be willing, and I think it would be appropriate for us to have further discussions about how that's implemented. I think the university, I mean, the university is doing this, Jonathan, because we think that we think it's part of our obligation. But I think even more than that, I think all of us on this side of the table share your concern for the health and welfare of the faculty, and we also share trying to provide some kind of structure to the issues that are going to come up, that have come up, that you have raised. We don't see this as dropping a curtain and saying, this is it, we're not going to talk to you again. And if we go back to in-class instruction, we're going to tell you that we're not going to talk to you about that and how that might impact faculty, because we don't see that as this process. You're right. If we go back, whatever we do in the fall, we're going to probably have to revisit these initiatives. We expect that.
Okay.
We're not trying to avoid them. We just think 15 seems to send a sense of, This isn't a document that is going to be final and reliable, but it's a moving document. We've agreed to these things, but we're going to continue to be bargaining. And so these might change, other things might be added to it. We'd like to rather send this document out as a document, like you said, to reassure. And so we would really like to compile it, close this stuff out. You know, whenever the UFF would like to consult, whenever the UFF would like to get back and talk about what's going on with the faculty as a result of this pandemic, we are going to be engaged.
Well, so I think the simplest way to address that is we just want to see that. I think what would be reassuring to faculty is to see that intent memorialized in this MOU, right? If the objection is saying that this is the language about it, a more formalized as bargaining, right? Like, we could certainly look at revising that language. What I think faculty want to see is that what you described as sort of the willingness and appropriateness to continue these conversations and addressing concerns, that see that memorialized in the language of the MOU.
Okay. Well. All right. I'll take that expression of intent on your part, Jonathan, into my caucus.
Okay.
When we caucus, and then I'll get back to you on it.
And even if you wanted it to be more narrowly tailored, it could be specifically towards individuals who have health concerns or who are at high risk, who are concerned about the going back to full instruction in the fall and whether or not they'll still potentially have the opportunity if they're high risk to continue distance teaching.
Okay.
If you wanted to narrow it more specific. On the other items, on the sabbatical issue and the leaves issue, I'm glad that the university has implemented both of those items and that they're pursuing them. We think that those are both issues that they need to be memorialized in the MOU because those are terms and conditions of employment subject to impact bargaining. Certainly our position is that they are, that these are, that the sabbatical extension and the leave pool, even if that leave pool is being implemented university-wide, as we see in all of our other structures about in-unit and out-of-unit faculty, the in-unit faculty component has to be negotiated if it's a term and condition of employment. We're not asking for a separate leave pool or a separate process. The only difference that we have articulated from the one that Human Resources put forward is that if a faculty member is denied review from approval from that panel, that faculty member can appeal directly to the provost. That's the only difference that we've added in there. We have concerns about a panel making decisions on inclusion that is, you know, these are not, that are outside of academic affairs.
I'm trying to recall the collective bargaining agreement language from the top of my head, but is there not language in the collective bargaining agreement now that allows for a faculty member who's been awarded a sabbatical to request a consideration for the deferment?
In the sabbatical component, the deferment is only in the context of, to my memory, I don't have it right in front of me right now, but to my memory, it's only in the context of when you have multiple faculty in a department, right? And they go up, if that faculty, if the university has the right to say, okay, you've both been approved, but this is gonna impact the department too much, and one of you has to postpone, right? But there's not currently language to request a postponement once approved. The language that we've pulled in here that says the period of postponement will be credited for eligibility toward a subsequent sabbatical, that's currently language from the CBA, but that's in the context where the faculty member is required to postpone for a year if two people in the department are approved for sabbatical the same.
Okay. Anything else on the MOU, Jonathan?
The only other question I think that we have right now, we may have some more that come up at break. Just so on the reason that we added in what was currently number 5 about the deans being in collaboration with the faculty senate to consider means and establish criteria, we were hoping that process would be formalized in a more consistent way, right? We want to make sure and ensure equitable opportunity for faculty in those scenarios, right? Rather than potentially what could be an inconsistent process of allowing a continuation of the holding of the travel funds for next year. What did you have in mind? The language I'm not really certain of is it currently says deans shall consider means in which the faculty may utilize. I'm not exactly sure what that language means. Does that mean that they're considering the funding source? Is that what means means in this context? That they're considering criteria or protocol, or how might it be out, applied? I'm not really sure what that language means.
Well, not necessarily the funding source, but if a faculty member had travel approved and then lost the opportunity to use it because the conference canceled or because of other safety concerns, whatever they might be. In some instances, we want the deans to see what they can do about replicating that experience for the faculty member. But that's not going to probably happen in every case. There's going to be instances where a rule will not fit all. The new conference might be different in scope so that it's not appropriate anymore for the faculty member to participate. The cost of it or the might have changed. So you know, we don't, we understand and want to give thought to the possibility of allowing travel to be taken in spite of the disruption. I don't think we can say that we want to develop some kind of rule or criteria that would apply in every case. So I think that's what, I think that's our thoughts on that. We think we need some flexibility going forward as to how monies will be spent for these kinds of activities.
Okay, I appreciate it. One more thing before we go to caucus, and I agree. I think we're close on this. I think we've done a really good job of working through a lot of the scenarios on a short time frame. If we're able to find agreement on this today or in the future in this format, something you may want to talk about in caucus, but like there's viabilities of, you know, I have access. I'm in my office. I have access to the printer. I can print and sign, scan and send it to you. Send it through, of course, WebEx simultaneously. That is that a viable means of signature for these kind of documents to scan and sign and send back and forth?
For sure. That would, if we come to an agreement on this document, we can get it executed through our means today, so it can go into effect as soon as possible. And I think we all share your thoughts, Jonathan, that that's what we should try to do, because we shouldn't let these things linger. We should agree on what we can agree with and put them in place and move forward, I think.
Okay. I tell you what, why don't we take a caucus? We have, I'm sure as you guys do as well, we have other things, but why don't we go and take a caucus on this specific issue right now?
Okay, go.
And then I don't think it'll take us longer, maybe than 15 minutes.
Okay, 15 minutes. We'll check back in with one another.
Okay, thank you guys for setting all this up. This works. Mm-hmm.